recorded live from Orlando, Florida and Nashville, Tennessee, you're listening to The Dapper Danielle Show, starring Ian Wilson, Clarence Kelly, and now, here's your host, the one and only, The Dapper Danielle.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dapper Danielle Show. We are here again with another episode. I am the Dapper Danielle. I am joined by Clarence Kelly. And again, Ian Wilson is sadly not available with us again this episode. He is back safely from his trip to Alaska. The wedding that he was participating went on without a hitch. Well, no, there was a hitch that took place at the wedding. But there wasn't any issues. Does that make sense?
They're getting hitched.
They were getting hitched, yes.
Not Ian and Jacqueline. They're already hitched.
They're friends.
Whatever. Yes. Anyway, convoluted. Really getting confusing here.
Sorry, you know, got to keep them on their toes when we start off an episode, you know? Just making sure that they're awake and that they're here.
Never let them know your next move.
Literally, yes. Isn't that kind of the theme that we're going for here? At the end of last episode, that's kind of what you said. You're just like, I'm just keeping them on their toes. You never know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do next.
That's true. I did say something along those lines.
Yeah. Anyway, but they got home safely last night from their long trip to Alaska, and they arrived back in Nashville, Tennessee at like midnight last night. And he's like, guys, I would love to... But no, and they end up, not only are they exhausted, but they're also babysitting for another family too. So, You know what? I will let them be, let them recover, get back into their normal sleep schedule. I don't know what that life is like. I've never had a normal sleep schedule. But
oh my gosh, wow. That literally just took me back to when you started and we're recording literally at midnight.
Like my content?
Yeah, your content, like on TikTok. That literally just you saying never have a normal sleep schedule. I just like it immediately took me back to like your videos in the Beetle, in the parking garage at Disney Springs when you started making content.
Wow.
Literally after you got off work.
and I think I've shared that, and I need to do a longer deep dive video and post it over on YouTube. If y'all have not also go over and check out the YouTube channel. I'm getting a little bit better about posting other stuff, and that's also where you can watch our faces for the actual recording version of the podcast. You can watch it over there on YouTube also. You don't have to just listen to our voices, though I hope we're melodically sounding as well. Anyway, but I need to post a longer video on YouTube refreshing like the history of me starting online. Like I mentioned it in the books, a very abbreviated version. I made a video back when I first left the company, and then I went ahead and privated it because it was some like, it wasn't that it was negative, but me saying I left, it was getting a lot of views, and it was nice for the time being when I was starting my content and just kind of clearing the air. But like Disney later on is just like, do you really want to keep that video up? And I said, you're right. Let me go ahead and silently drop that. So I need to do another updated version of like, here's 5 years later after stepping away from the company in November of 2021. And this is what's happened since then. And this is how I started my content in 2020 when the world was shut down and filming in my car late at night after my really long shifts at work and explaining some of that logic. Because I've been getting a lot more of those questions here recently. And I think, I don't know, Clarence, have you seen any of the emails? I don't think they're going to the podcast email. They're going to my other, the Dapper Danielle email.
I've not seen them, but the momager.
Dapper the momager.
Mom, she has told me, because she sees a lot of the emails that come in. And she was telling me that you get a lot of people asking like how you got started in it and asking for advice.
Yes. And like, well, how do you start this? How have you been doing this? And my answer to everybody really is, y'all, I've been doing this for 5 years consecutively. And this did not happen overnight. This has been, maybe you just recently discovered my work and you're thinking, oh, like she just got up to this following. That has not been the case. So it's been a grind. It really, really has. And I think, and I'll make a much longer a prettier, like more aesthetically pleasing video going into this in more detail. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, and it doesn't happen overnight, and you have to be consistent is really what it is.
It's been a slow burn for sure.
It has been. And you, Clarence, you've been a part of it every step of the way in different ways. And
I remember like encouraging you to quit Disney.
Yes.
To pursue it. And like all of us were kind of like, yeah, why not just try? See what happens. And look at where we're at now.
I think it was more of you were frustrated of me coming home and crying over making the decision. And you're just like, just go ahead and quit already. Just step away.
Well, I think too, there was a lot of like other things going on at work, and then like just a lot of stress, and it seemed like the right decision at the time.
And it was.
Yeah, and so it would like, I think it just kind of, when you're not in the thick of it, it's probably a little easier to see the positives and negatives, like if you're just on the outside looking in, which is kind of where I was. So I'm sure for me it was like, from what I remember, I was like, yeah, do it. Like, why not? Start a YouTube channel. Make some money.
Yeah, and it finally got to that point. Oh, Clarence, congratulations. As of today, the day that we're recording this, the beginning of November, we're officially monetized on YouTube.
Are we actually?
I got the notification as I'm like, so I had a meeting with the bank to like finish getting like more influencer business stuff organized, and literally I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I get a little notification saying, hey, you can start getting monetized and getting AdSense. And I'm like, oh shoot, again, it's been 5 years of me poorly uploading and not getting enough consistent views that it's finally gotten to this point. And it's really been because we've been posting the podcast over here on the YouTube channel. So again, thank you so much for watching. And really, you just watching is supporting us. And we really, really do appreciate. So thank you so much.
Definitely. That's so exciting. I had no idea.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later after the recording.
Yeah, definitely. I think what we should talk about right now, though, is maybe getting into a little bit of news.
Yes, let's get into some news.
Some news. I know we talked about the Clawhauser animatronic a little bit. For Better Zoogether
in
Disney's Animal Kingdom. But I think we're getting a first look now, right? The article we're looking at is from clickorlando.com.
Yeah, it's from Channel 6 News.
It was posted today.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
today.
Media was in for Animal Kingdom, so the cast members got to see it first over Halloween weekend. The like influencer previews came in around the same time, actually maybe the day before or the day after some of that, and they got to come in and film and talk about some of their experiences. And not that many of you even saw that though, because the algorithm suppressed all of it, so who knows if you got to see any of it. And then now the news outlets are coming through, and the official grand opening is going to be November 7th, so later on this week after this episode airs.
And
what I think is funny is I think it's cute. I haven't gone and seen it yet myself. I need to figure out. I'll get over there eventually. I need to figure out how to get over there. Probably, I don't know. Do I want to do? I feel like they've done so many previews, and so many cast members have already seen it. And I want to say there's annual pass holders. Maybe they're going to do a soft open. I don't know. But see if there's a way for me to get on over there. Or if not, I'll just wait until after November 7th and do a whole... You know what? See, I'm just verbally processing. The first wave of Christmas decor has gone up at Animal Kingdom. It should be all up by the end of this week. So after the attractions opened, I'll go do a whole thing of going and see the Christmas decor, going and experiencing better Zoogether. Yeah, that's a hard one to say. And... from what we've seen, though, in the videos, it looks pretty cute. And the general reactions is this is great. It's very family friendly, and it doesn't have creepy spiders and hornets or beetles that are trying to poke you in the butt.
Oh my gosh, and thank goodness.
Everybody's like, this is such a, like, some people loved It's Tough to Be a Bug. If you are one of those people, good for you. I went and saw it. I'm like, nah, it's time to move on. So I'm happy about this. I love the Zootopia franchise. I think it's great. Clarence, you love Zootopia too.
I love Zootopia. I think it's great, and I'm excited about the new movie. I hated Tough to Be a Bug, so I have no like.
You're like, good riddance.
Bye. If you loved it, you're wrong. Sorry.
And what's funny is you can kind of look and see what they kept, right? So yeah. I think the Tree of Life actually got a brand new storyline. I haven't really read into exactly what it is yet. I want to go in and just read every single plaque and every single poster in the queue and in the pre-show just to really like understand what they want. But I did see that the giant dung ball that used to be under there is still there.
Okay.
But they're not calling it a dung ball. They're calling it like a dirt ball representing the world. And then it has like all these different animal handprints on it. It was supposed to represent the first Zoogether Today day or whatever.
Okay.
I'm going to have to do a video.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting.
I did see it's only 9 minutes. It's only a 9 minute show.
That's because the average guest only has an attention span of less than 10 minutes.
Is that true?
That's why they shortened Country Bears.
Oh my gosh.
Because the original show was 15 plus minutes. Then it was shortened to 13 because of the attention span. And then it was shortened to, I think it's at 11 something now.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So I get it.
It's hard to do a lot of good storytelling in only 9 minutes. So I'm intrigued. I'm sure it's good. I'm excited to see it. But we'll see, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the Clawhauser animatronic. I think he's going to be cute.
The videos I've seen of him is very cute, and it does match his animatronic persona that's over in Hong Kong or Shanghai, one of the two, where their Zootopia land is.
Yeah.
And he looks so cute. He's wearing his little fun t-shirt, and he has his little like celebration beads and like neon glowing pieces on. He looks like he's ready to go raving and partying over at a Glozell concert.
The Dapper Danielle Show will be right back after these messages.
Clarence, our other piece of news is kind of in this, you might have read a couple, a little bit more into this also.
Mm-hmm. I really am not super educated on it though.
I'm not super educated on this too. So I just pulled an article from USA Today, and I didn't think this was real, of ABC or YouTube TV has pulled Disney's content, including channels like ESPN and ABC, which each carry Monday Night Football, and has removed it. And it removed it on October 30th. And I guess it was because both companies could not reach a new contractual agreement. And here on November 3rd, Disney, I guess, went to YouTube and pled its case and said, hey, the election's coming up. We want to do some live election coverage. We feel like this needs to be aired and available out there. Can you bring us back on? And YouTube said, nah, bruh. And basically,
they officially say no.
They officially said no today. And that's why it's been breaking news here in the past like 45 minutes before we were recording.
Gotcha.
And I guess
I'm looking at all the channels that are not on. So ABC, ABC News Live, ACC Network, Disney Channel, Disney Junior, Disney XD, ESPN, ESPN News, ESPN2, ESPNU, Freeform, FX, FXM, FXX, Localish, Nat Geo, Nat Geo Wild, SEC Network. Oh, that's going to make all the Southerners sad. Spanish Language Plan, ESPN Deportes, Baby TV Español, Nat Geo Mundo. Okay, so there was the Spanish channels are also suspended. Yeah,
I love how everybody's worry isn't about the election coverage.
Monday Night Football, obviously.
Literally, everybody's just worried about, how do I watch the big game on Monday? And I'm like, okay, guys are looking at this for the wrong reasons, but sure. Anyway, but I mean, because it's ESPN, it's like the biggest sports network. And so all these networks list out other ways you can watch these broadcasted games and how to watch it. So I think it's very unfortunate, but no big news. We assume this will be restored eventually because Disney's losing money by not having their content aired on YouTube TV, one of the largest cable providers, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's gonna have to be fixed sooner than later before the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's gonna be bonkers.
Yeah, I did see that YouTube TV is offering a $20 credit to subscribers if the Disney channels remain pulled. So,
that's interesting because then that's YouTube saying we're fine. We'll actually offer money back to those people as an inconvenience to them. Like we'll just go ahead and say, hey, stick with us, and is saying, haha, no to Disney.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's interesting. I did not realize that.
It's very interesting. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't have a dog in this fight, you know.
It's no,
just two giant multi-million-dollar corporations going at each other. So
literally, yes. And I think the only people that really care is probably Dapper Dad, and he cares because of Monday Night Football.
I don't know that he cares that much about Monday Night Football, to be honest.
Well, he's been watching like the big Tennessee game and everything else like that here recently.
Didn't he move to Hulu though? I think
he
ended the
went
YouTube
to Hulu
TV and he's using Hulu Live TV now.
That's right.
This year. He got it for college football season.
He's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, well.
Just bootleg stream the games on YouTube like I do.
I mean,
watch an illegal stream.
Well, it's not Clarence, you can't be saying that
I'm not the one
on a recording.
It. I'm not liable. It's popped on my TV. I'm not
Clarence,
the one.
We just got monetized. You don't want the YouTube to be able to hear us and then take it away.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. Don't stream football on YouTube. Definitely don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I would be so upset if you did that.
Stop it. Okay, well, I say we go ahead and move on to our next subject matter. I do want to go ahead and say first, before we move away to the new from the news, we don't really have any new Patreon members over in the refreshers category, but we did have a couple of new members that joined us over in the churros and premium bar categories, which thank you so much if you have joined the Dapper Danielle Patreon pages. I'm actually going to be posting the winner of the giveaway for October here, actually. But hopefully it's before this episode airs on Tuesday. This should actually be going out in the mail for them that same day. So stay tuned for that. What else? There's no new cast member memoirs or reviews to be able to share right now because everybody has had a very, very busy Halloween weekend. Mm-hmm. And big shout out, though, to our Patreon followers that were able to tune in to our first virtual hang test, and we watched
Mickey's House of Villains. Yeah.
Mickey's House of Villains.
Big thank you to everybody who showed up for that. That was like kind of us testing the waters on live streaming and like doing a watch party together and having a virtual hangout and being able to interact with the chat. So that was a lot of fun. I think it went very well. We uploaded the live stream to Patreon on Halloween night, actually. So if you want to go back and watch it, you can subscribe and watch it. It is only available to the paying tiers. It's not available to the free tier. But we want to do more of those. It was a lot of fun. And in that live stream, I was showing off the collection of VHS tapes and Disney movies that I have that we could do more of. So
yes.
And
what was cool, like, I love the fact that you were able to hook up your VHS player and your TV
VCR,
set.
The one on top of my TV in the background, right over my shoulder.
Yes. It's
literally over here on the ground, plugged into my computer.
And like, thank goodness, y'all, I have a brother, Clarence, that is tech savvy enough in like inputs and sound and all this other stuff to be able to make something like that happen. Because I'd be like, I don't know how to do that. Clarence? Clarence?
And I was very fortunate. I actually, the thing I used to make that work is just this little video capture device that has all the inputs you need and then goes to USB. And the computer just instantly recognizes it The computer instantly recognizes it as an audio and video input. So basically whatever is plugged into it, I got this actually for my camcorder. And so I could capture video from my camcorder for when I was working at a record label. I was doing behind the scenes.
Oh, you were doing that like textured 90s aesthetic.
Yeah, but it was all real. It was all real tape. I wasn't just putting a filter on it. I was like, I want the real thing because the filter never gets all the way there.
Right.
You got to do it on tape if you really want the real look. Like I've seen those new camp snaps that are Super 8.
The cameras that have the filter that you can attach to it to make it look like that.
It looks like a Super 8 camera, but Camp Snap makes like digital cameras that shoot like a point and shoot.
Yes.
Or like a shooting on film. And they made a new one this year that is like a Super 8 camera. It looks terrible. The filter is awful. It looks like it's from CapCut. Like, save your money. Don't spend $100 on that stupid camera. Just go to a thrift store, buy a film camera, buy some cheap tape off Amazon or something, and just, this was $5.
Really?
$5 just to get that. Like, you can do like $30 to do the real thing. Like, just do the real thing. It looks so much better. It's a lot more fun, you know? So,
yeah. It's a great conversation piece when you're actively out there, too.
Totally. And then you're just like old school with your giant camera. I don't think I have mine. It's on the other side of the room. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like my camera that I'm using is our parents' camera from the 90s. So I think it's as old as me. It's from 1996.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, I'm all for just like doing the real thing. Like if you want to shoot Super 8, buy a Super 8 camera. Buy some Super 8 film. Get it developed. Figure out how to do it. There's so many tutorials online to learn how to do this. Pick up a new hobby that doesn't involve a screen. Like,
right. OG make that a video hobby. Making.
Totally. It's so fun. It's so fun to like do film and like do it old school. And the aesthetic is great. And then when you share it, people like it because it looks real. It's got the real tears.
Something AI could never copy.
Exactly. And like the closest I've ever gotten to emulating like a true film aesthetic is in Blender, which is a 3D modeling software with a really powerful compositing component that just it takes so long to try to emulate the because like you want the tears and the distortion, the grain, you want the loom bleed. Sorry, I'm really nerding out on this right now.
No, Clarence, I love this, but this is in the themed entertainment world. That's not just my Disney-ness. So this is something that we should talk about because we have so many people in the art world that I know agree, or even people that are not part of the art world that are just like, wait, this is a thing? Yes, y'all, this is actively a thing that's being talked about in the art communities and in the film industry. Like this is something that a lot of people are talking about right now in these spaces.
There's just more life on like acetate.
Yes.
Like when you're filming directly to acetate or like, I mean, that's why like Wes Anderson shoots on film. Like he's still using Kodak film for his movies. And like when you're shooting on tape for home videos, like what's cool is something I do, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend unless you just want this aesthetic. Is I will use the same tape over and over and over again. So basically I'll record a bunch and then I'll like capture it all on the computer, and then I will just rewind the tape and I'll record over when I have like another gig or when I want to record something else. And the thing is, the extra use of the tape, using it over and over again, causes it to distort even more. So
I love
like
that.
Sometimes the tears are just so insane and wild looking, and it's a lot of fun. Maybe I need to just do like a tutorial on how to do this, like how to DIY and capture, and because it's all super cheap. The program I use is OBS, which is free. Like, basically, you just record straight from the camera in real time.
I think you totally could, Clarence. I think you should, because you've done other music tutorials before.
A long time ago. Oh
my gosh. A long time ago.
Yeah, on my YouTube channel.
Yeah. Oh, I need to make a video about being an influencer. You need to make a video about how to record true 90s aesthetic. And yeah, well, we got to put pins in these projects. These might not happen until January, but at this point we need to talk about them enough that they happen.
Totally. The more we talk about them, if you want to see these, just leave some comments or podcast@thedapperdanielle.com. Shoot us an email.
Or if you want to be selfish and you don't want to share it anywhere else, let us know if you just want to see it on the Patreon. And you're just like, the Patreon people, let us know. Yes, I want to see this stuff from Clarence. Then we'll do it for you. We'll make it happen.
We can make it happen. Sorry, I totally hijacked the conversation there and got way off topic.
No,
I think
Clarence,
we need to get into our main attraction.
Yes.
Which it is November 3rd when we're recording this, and the tree is up.
Y'all, Merry Hollow Thanksmas. We are in full code green and red. We are in, actually, Rudolph red, code red, that Christmas is here. Like, I feel like Christmas is tomorrow. I went to World Market and I went and bought stuff because I feel like I was panicking that I was behind. Yeah. And the main thing is, Clarence, I also sent you a link. I text you a link from the Disney Parks socials.
You did.
And it was a snapshot of all the decor that's been added to Magic Kingdom this year. And y'all, I just want to say, you're welcome. I called out Disney 2-3 years ago in a video. I'm going to have to try to find proof of this video, but maybe it was on a podcast recording. It was something. I talked about it a lot 2-3 years ago about how I refused to go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party because there was no additional decor beyond Main Street USA.
That's right. I do remember you saying that.
You remember this? I was very opinionated about this. I said, this is why Jollywood is the superior park during the holiday season, because the decor scatters throughout the entire park. And finally, this year, in the year 2025. I'm already thinking of New Year's. We're in 2026, baby. And in 2025, we're finally getting holiday decor that goes beyond the barrier of Main Street USA.
It is about time.
I have been asking for this. I have been pleading for this ever since I had a social media presence. I've been asking for this. And the amount of storytelling that they've added into the decor. I have already been very passionate about the decor that's been added that goes in yearly over at Disney Springs. Ever since Disney Springs opened, they had beautiful decor, great storytelling hidden inside all their stuff. That needs to be another YouTube video. Anyway,
totally.
The storytelling has now been brought to Magic Kingdom. There's now decor on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. They have garlands and boughs at their entrance and on their lampposts. They have diamond mines and like little diamonds in it, and then like a pickaxe hidden inside the garland.
Yeah.
Did you see the Winnie the Pooh one?
I did. I loved the Winnie the Pooh, the little presents.
Oh, the little presents. They have on the top of the sign, it's these giant like bows, and in the very center, it's a honeycomb with a heffalump bee.
Aww.
That's just inside the honeycomb and then surrounded by this little garland piece.
That's so cute.
There's Dumbo garland over at the circus.
I will say I'm a huge Winnie the Pooh fan. I'm wearing my Winnie the Pooh necktie today.
Yes.
For this recording, so I'm all for the Winnie the Pooh Christmas decor.
You and Blake. I love it. I love
it. Does Blake like Winnie the Pooh as well?
And everybody that follows me laughs. Clarence, you know Blake's Pop Nook. Do you follow him?
I don't think I follow Blake.
My friend, I'm really from California?
I'm really racking my brain for whoever
he's like
Blake
the
is.
Pooh Bear guy.
This is. Okay. Yeah, sorry. I don't know your friends.
Guys, I'm so sorry. Cole. I failed.
I only know the ones that I've met at in Disney World or...
So you know all my Florida people.
I know the Florida people.
You know Megan.
All the Florida people. I know Megan, and that's about it for California friends.
Okay,
I know Ashley.
Okay, I will have to get you up to date on some of the California peeps. But yes, Blake is like the Pooh Bear guy. Anything?
We just need to start having guests on the podcast.
Maybe we'll work on that next. People. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work on that.
I was
for
even
next
thinking
season.
Today. I'm like. We should invite Ashley to the podcast. Talk about Disney animation.
Ashley does watch the show, so if she's down for it, let us know, babe. And she'll probably message me later. we'd be happy to do that. Yeah, ask some opinions. Everything work appropriate that you're allowed to share. That'd be great.
Yeah.
The what else? Anyway, so he's the big Pooh Bear guy. He would love the decor just as much as you do, Clarence.
Okay. Does Disneyland have... Because they have the Disney or the Christmas overlays for the rides.
Yeah.
I would assume they have more Christmas decor in the rest of the park.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
One of the few things Disneyland has always done better.
But it's also... They're only having to decorate, what, 3 resorts and 2 parks where we have, what, 27 resorts now, technically? Maybe 22 if you don't include... The third-party resorts?
Yeah.
That have to be decorated. All of Disney Springs. 4 parks.
Yeah.
And a cruise line. Cruise line decorations also come out of our warehouses.
Really? Out of the Orlando warehouses?
Like half and half. Like we
help them out.
They don't
have any
out
in Cocoa?
No. Most of the warehouses are here in central Orlando.
That seems ridiculous.
And then
To have to haul all of that to the coast for the yachts.
The cruise ships. The costumes... For Disney World and Cruise Line comes out of a warehouse near the airport.
Really?
Yeah. So they have to drive these giant trucks down to both areas.
Yeah. That's wild. Okay. Yeah. So we're getting a little off topic, though.
Sorry.
Again.
All the rants
rabbits
in this episode.
This whole episode. Sorry to everybody listening. Or maybe you're welcome. I don't know. Maybe people are enjoying that. But okay, so we wanted to talk about like the quick turnover from Halloween to Christmas in the Disney parks and how they basically just do everything overnight, it seems like. It's not literally overnight because there's still some things being put up this week, but it feels like, it's basically once clock strikes midnight, November 1st, like Christmas trees are up and pumpkins are gone.
And I think somebody was talking about how in previous years, they remember how it literally would be at the stroke of midnight, there would be a changeover and all of a sudden the Christmas decor would be there. The tree would have been there on November 1st. Guys, the tree has not been there on November 1st in quite a few years because the Halloween parties take such a precedent. And that final night on Halloween night is like they still have a party going on. They are still pushing guests out at 2 a.m. They only have so many hours to start taking away the first wave of Halloween. And they really need November 1st into November 2nd for that really to happen.
I think even some years there are Halloween parties up until November 1st or 2nd.
Yes, there had in previous years there was.
Maybe even this year. I haven't checked to see when the last Halloween party was this year.
I think it was the 31st. I think that was the last one.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think we had any.
We've not verified this, so maybe we're wrong. podcast@thedapperdanielle.com. Please tell us how wrong we are. But I do think a lot of people's perception is that the decor is thrown up pretty much overnight.
Right.
And I think some other parks, like Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, you're able to do that a little, maybe for different pieces.
Yeah.
Because Magic Kingdom has their Halloween party going on the 31st. There are people still in the parks. It's hard. You can't really decorate when you've got thousands of guests all around you. They wait until the park is empty.
Exactly. Well, safety. Like, the amount of those boughs, what they hang on the sides of Main Street USA, those things are so heavy. And we know because we own one of them.
We do. We do.
When Mom and I worked at Disney, actually during COVID, like right before COVID shut down. So this would have been December. Actually, no, this would have been the summer of 2020. No, of 2019.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when the world shut down in 2020 and we had nothing else to do, I came over to the house and we tore apart this giant garland that hung on Main Street USA. We still have the tag for it. And it said the location and Main Street, this section, just for proof of it. And this thing weighed maybe 75, 80 pounds.
It wasn't that. Well,
it had a giant. Well, no, it was that heavy. It took two people to be able to lift this thing.
Yeah. I guess I'm trying to remember what was in it, because I remember we took a bunch of stuff off of it.
Well, it wasn't right. It wasn't the fruit. It wasn't the actual boughs itself. It was the triple threaded cable that was also covered to keep it from rusting. And so it had the plastic tubing over it too that made it so heavy. Like, because these things are meant to withstand hurricane force winds if there's a sudden hurricane that hits in November.
Yeah.
Right? So they don't have to take down they're not worried about the core getting damaged. They're more worried about it falling off, and they want it to go down instead of flying somewhere, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And the decor was beautiful. And I remember us putting it out in the driveway. And we had to rinse it because it had dust on it. It was not really the best quality. And we thought it was dust. It wasn't dust. It was dried Snope.
Oh, gross. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do you remember this? No.
Vaguely. I didn't even think about that. Ew.
And so we took all the fruits off, and our hands were disgusting afterwards. Mm-hmm. They were all black and gray. And we took those all off. We had to rinse all of those. Make sure they were good. And then we took, so this thing stretches on the thing of the center of the driveway. And then we take the hose and we start pressure washing it, putting high pressure water on it. And all of a sudden it starts sudsing and it's reactivated all this dry Snope on it and starts just flooding into the road. And I'm
so disgusting.
Is that sanitary? Is that allowed? Are we going to get a note from the council or the city? What's going to be this? The HOA?
They're going to be mad.
No, I mean, it has to be ingestible, the Snow, because so many kids try to bite into the Snow when it's falling into the air. It has to be fine. Ugh, you know?
Gross. Disgusting.
Yeah. But we rinsed that sucker off. We had to have it dry in the sun for a while. Flipped it over, dry some more. I think even at one point we took a hair dryer to portions of it. And just to make sure it dried out thoroughly. And then we took it all apart. And Mom and I were recreated and rewired these new garlands using it. And it was... How long is that? Each garland is about 20 feet long. That's how much garland we had on this thing.
Yeah.
It was so cool. They were huge. So impressive. They were huge.
Mom still has them.
Mom still has them. I still use them in my regular yearly decor.
Oh, you have one there?
I do have one. Yeah, I have one here. Actually, okay. I have two. I have one that also, a big blue one that used to be in Art of Animation or Hollywood Studios.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
You have not seen that. That was gifted to me right before Mom left the company. And I had it in a box. I didn't bring it out. No, we used it at the apartment in Bradenton on the top of the cabinetry.
I'm thinking through that. I don't remember seeing that. But
you flew down for Christmas and you were I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just here. I just feed me and just say hi. That's all you wanted.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing, but I mean, if it was at the top of the cabinet, I probably wasn't looking at it that often.
But that's from Hollywood Studios.
To clarify, these are not stolen.
No.
These are purchased.
These are purchased because Disney will phase out and will recycle a lot of its holiday decor, its Christmas trees, its wreaths. Many of the resorts, many of the parks will go through complete revamps of their holiday stuff. They will try to reuse and clean up whatever they can. But after some point, after like 3 or 4 years of use and just Florida weather, Florida sunshine, they just can't be salvaged, or it's easier to go ahead and buy brand new and recycle elements of it. Mm-hmm. So they go ahead and sell them at a place called Cast Connections for cast members. And that's how we got all these when Mom was still working there for the company.
They're sold for dirt cheap.
They were. They were
like
$50, I think, is how much we got for this one garland. And then the other one, I think, was 30, if that.
I don't even remember them being that expensive.
I don't even know. Maybe we only spent $50 in total for both of them.
That was kind of what I'm thinking, is maybe it was like $25 each.
Maybe.
That's at least what I remember. They weren't expensive, though.
They weren't.
There's a ton of stuff that we've got from Cast Connections. Honestly, the lamp over here.
Your tree lamp.
Tree lamp. Is from
Wilderness Lodge.
Wilderness Lodge. It was, and we found it at Cast Connections, or y'all found it at Cast Connections a long time ago, and now it's in my bedroom.
And the wiring didn't work. So Dad, though, being his weird, crazy electrician self, he's just like, oh, we'll just pop it out. We'll put a new filament wire thing in it, and he made it work again.
I love it. It's an amazing lamp. It's been with me for 5 years at this point.
Yes. And it's a great conversation piece. It looks like a fun little tree.
It's like, oh yeah, it came from one of the Disney resorts. You know, right. we're not pulling a Buzzy, you know, and stealing the animatronics.
We bought ours. Ours is inventoried. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're not pulling a, or even a paddlefish.
Oh. Hilarious. Oh, and like how you have that. I have my tree that's here in my living room off to the side. A lot of you have seen it in videos of my little orange tree. But the oranges are from that original garland from Main Street. And I bought this random tree from IKEA. And I was like, let's make it an orange tree. Christmas oranges from Walt Disney World. And that's what lives in there now. So it's now y'all know the story of my orange tree.
The Dapper Danielle Show will be right back after these messages.
Let's talk about the parks themselves.
The parks themselves. And so the main priority, of course, is going to be Magic Kingdom and now Hollywood Studios, because both of them are going to have the first holiday offerings out of any of the parks. So the very first Christmas party, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and the very first Jollywood Nights is going to be happening on November 6th and 7th, I believe.
Okay.
Jollywood's is the 6th. Magic Kingdom's is the 7th. So that's going to be happening later at the end of this week after this podcast episode airs. And from there, it then goes Epcot. Well, no, technically Animal Kingdom and then Epcot. Because Epcot's Festival of the Holidays doesn't start until Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
So they do have a lot of decor. They do have a lot of really cool holiday offerings. But their full-blown Christmas season does not start until Thanksgiving over in Epcot.
I think we should go through the parks mentally.
Yes.
And highlight some things that we really like for the Christmas decor and what they bring out. So like starting in Magic Kingdom, like some of the icons of Christmas decor in the Magic Kingdom, what are some things that immediately come to your mind that you're like, I love this thing. This is awesome.
One of my favorites here in the past, like 2-3 years has been the decor and garlands inside of Uptown Jewelers in Main Street, USA. So already Main Street already has this very aesthetic of turn of the century, going from 1890 to the early 1900s. And so there's a lot of toys. There's a lot of handmade garlands. That's where you have the popcorn garland and all these other little details. But inside the jewelry store, it's supposed to be the swanky, like bougie lady store, right? Where everybody would come in the 1900s to be able to purchase their wares. This is where all the ladies of the town would come over and purchase their stuff from. I don't know why they would talk in a southern accent when this town is actually based off of New England area, so I should have a Boston accent. And the garlands, because it's like the fancy jewelry store, have these crystal pieces and this like mauve velvet that goes through everything. And it is just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And if I had like a mauve boudoir kind of theme, or like even a, like a guest room, I would probably really hone into this. And a lot of my fall decor has a lot of the little like shimmering crystal pieces in it. And it kind of, but I want that in my Christmas decor too, but I don't want it in my normal living room decor. Yeah. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
What about you, Clarence?
Can I pick something that isn't there anymore?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. My favorite was the icicles on Cinderella's castle.
The dream lights.
Yes. The lights on the castle. I loved those. Mm. I think they were so pretty. And now that it's all projections, it's not as cute.
It's not.
Makes me sad.
What's funny is I think we're so blessed that me and you got to live during a time that we saw both dream lights and Osborne lights, right? This era of exterior illumination that was beyond anything else.
I mean,
right?
It was Griswold levels.
It was Griswold levels. And we were here for it. We were like, yeah, do it. And we didn't mind the crane. We didn't mind the crane that went up in September. We just wanted to see the dream lights at the end of December, November.
Mm-hmm.
And I what's funny is that this younger generation that is not old enough to have gone to Disney World or to remember doesn't remember the dream lights at all, or never got a chance to be able to see them. They're seeing photos and they're seeing videos of these dream lights. And mm-hmm. I love, there's a couple of reaction videos I've already come out here actually this season. And it's these younger kids saying, "You mean this was a thing? You took this away from me and I didn't get to experience this." And then us millennials and older Gen Zers are just like, "Oh yeah, kid, there was a time back in the day."
There was a time when we put lights on everything.
On everything. And we tried to blow a fuse and it was set to Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and it wasn't Frozen that lit the castle. It was Fairy Godmother, and she was out there with Cinderella and Prince Charming and even the King, and they were the ones that did the whole welcoming to Magic Kingdom, and now Elsa's invading and she's lighting up Cinderella's castle. She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even live there. That's not her castle.
She's visiting from Arendelle.
Get out. No squatters.
So bad.
That was just a squatter in Cinderella's castle.
It's just Olaf. He just has a room. And it's just him. And it's just this snow for him. He's like, "Hi." And then the mice squatter's rights. What, the mice are yelling that? Or Olaf's yelling
Olaf.
That? So then the mice are the only ones that can get under the door and are just like it's just Gus Gus being like, "Zug Zug, you need to leave." And just like,
they just start biting his nose.
Just like biting his nose. Or like limbs are randomly missing in the middle of the night. And he's like, "Oh, those mice." I can picture that. Totally can.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to, I think I want to save Hollywood for last.
So Epcot.
Let's
go, yeah, go and order the park openings.
Okay. That would be Epcot then. Yeah.
Yeah. Epcot. You too.
Okay. Let's go to Epcot. What are some things that come to mind in Epcot, which they have done all of World Showcase for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
At least with the white lights.
Well, there used to be something called the Lights of Winter, which were a giant light archway that covered the World Showcase Bridge. And then they used to have a lighting ceremony at the very front of the main tree. And the lighting ceremony would happen with all of the country storytellers would come together and be part of the lighting ceremony. And I thought that was really cool. We ever got to see that once in the 90s. Of the lighting ceremony, but we do remember the storytellers. And luckily my two favorite storytellers are still in Epcot to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're your favorite too. Or at least
one of
them
my favorites is gone, but.
Oh yes. One of your favorites is gone.
Yes. But I think the other one, if you're going to say Father Christmas for sure.
Oh, for sure. Father Christmas is my favorite. I'm actually really thinking about for Dapper Day coming up. One of the Dapper Days, it's going to be in Epcot this year instead of Animal Kingdom. And I'm kind of thinking about doing a Disney bound in not a full cosplay and making it clear it's not Ghost of Christmas Present, but making it a recreation of Father Christmas's outfit.
Are you going to have the white staff with the mistletoe on it?
Or do a bag, like make my bag a hidden mistletoe that opens up.
Oh, that'd be cute.
Wouldn't that be cool? Like get one of the ball purses and cover it in the mistletoe fake.
Mm-hmm.
And then make it actually functional and make it functional. And that be the outfit.
That sounds cute.
Doesn't that sound cute? Or do it do an outfit inspired by my second favorite storyteller, who is La Befana.
La Befana. Ah, yes. See, I thought you were going to say Pierre Noël.
No, don't get me wrong. I love Pierre Noël too. Like Pierre Noël. Okay. Pierre Noël is a solid three. And y'all, if you saw my video from 2 years ago now, yeah, it's been 2 years ago now, I found a shopping article, like booklet of shopping around Epcot World Showcase. Beautiful art on the front. It has the Lights of Winter on it. So it's from the 80s. And they sold ornaments of each of the storytellers.
That's awesome.
And I want La Befana, I want Father Christmas, and I want Pierre Noël. And I have not seen these ever pop up on the resale market. So I'm wondering if they even existed.
I don't know. I have never seen them before. So podcast at thedapperdanielle.com. Please let us know if you have a set that you want to sell.
And how much you're willing for me to pawn them off of you. That's what I want to know. yes. And so, yes, Pierre Noël's fabulous. He just so on brand. I don't know. I think beautiful costume, beautiful outfit for Pierre Noël. And then La Befana, her story is just fun. And the actress and the friend of La Befana here in recent years is just so good. She's so good.
Yeah. It's also just a very tender story.
It is.
I think. I think that La Befana definitely sticks with me as far as the Christmas stories, because there's something very... Because her story, essentially, if you don't know who La Befana is, she's an Italian witch who is visited by three wise men when Jesus was born. And so she's in the hills of Italy, I would assume, somewhere. Yes. And the wise men are passing through and they're like, we're going. They're like, there's like a language barrier and they're like going to Bethlehem. And she kind of understands like, oh, they're following the star to go to Bethlehem to see the newborn king. And they invite her to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
And she says no.
Because you don't want to go with strange men in the middle of the night. Safety.
but she says no. And she refuses their offer and they move on and they leave. And over some time, she begins to regret that she didn't go with them.
She has FOMO.
And so she grabs her things and is rushing out the door to go follow the star to Bethlehem. And when she gets outside, the star is gone. And she missed her opportunity. And so now she visits children every Christmas and leaves a little gift.
Well, the eve of the Epiphany.
That's right. It's the eve of the Epiphany. So it's in January. It's not actually Christmas. Mm-hmm. Thank you for... I totally forgot it's the Epiphany. So she's visiting children in Italy and leaving a little gift because she's looking into their face as they're sleeping. And she thinks, I should leave something for every child because what if this is... What if this
the one
is
I was
Jesus?
Looking for?
What if this is the newborn king, the Gesù Bambino? So... I just think it's a very heartwarming story. It's very sweet.
Yes.
I think because we've all, I think, experienced kind of that FOMO of like, we say no to something initially and then we're like, oh wait, what if maybe actually I want that. Maybe I want to experience that. And then we go and it's too late. And so hers is just a carryover of that, of like, it was too late, but she's going to do something about it. And so... It's a sweet story.
It is sweet. And like, Glitch, you did a really good job retelling that. Like, that was good. Yes.
Thanks.
And like, that story is beautiful. I love the story. Like, Pierre Noël, his story is great too. And he talks about like the figures that are seen, the creche, and representing the village and the town. I think that's fantastic. And Father Christmas is probably the one that we, as Americans, probably understand the most because it's more representative of English and Great Britain history, right? So a little more of what we tie into for what some of our Christmas stuff is. And he's just fun. Oh, he's goes through classic Christmas carols and talking about the mistletoe and the legend behind that. I think that one's really great too.
There's a lot of great traditions that come from the UK. I mean, like you said, the carols, Christmas cards, the mistletoe. The one I miss, or really there's two that I miss. I really miss the three wise men in Mexico.
That's because they were so grand looking.
They were so cool. They literally had the best costumes.
The best costumes. They moved out so regally and they had great choreography in their storytelling. And they just like these people that portrayed these characters just brought this like essence and this power and authority with them when they talked and recited these stories. And they were very impressive, especially to a young kid when we were there in Epcot.
Totally.
Like we were just like, oh, they're really cool.
Yeah, they're super cool. And they talk about how the traditions in Mexico of leaving out your shoes on the doorstep for them to fill with sweets.
The poinsettia. Presents.
The poinsettia, yes. And but the other one that I miss is, was it Helga?
Oh, yes, Helga from Germany.
In Germany. And talking about the Nussknacker.
The Nussknacker.
And the Tannenbaum. So the Nutcracker and the Christmas tree, those traditions that came from Germany. I love her story of Martin Luther literally just going out, seeing an evergreen tree in, as he's praying, and just walking through the fields of Germany, I guess, and then just like, wow, this is so beautiful. I'm going to chop it down and take it home.
her timing was always so good.
Oh, she was hysterical. She was very fun. And then, like, the end of her story, the Nutcracker came to life, like Clara in the Nutcracker Ballet, which is the Nutcracker Ballet German? I thought it was Russian.
It is.
It is Russian?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
But the Nutcracker itself is of German origin.
Yes.
Like, the actual object.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, so something interesting that I've noticed over in the Germany pavilion here recently, mm-hmm. and maybe they did this also in response to my video that I've done for like 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they finally removed the pickle tree.
Really?
That was inside the gift shop. It was not there when I was there last. The plaque for it talking about the pickle tree was removed. And
that's hysterical.
I think it's because enough of the German kids that worked there are just like, nah, this isn't us. This is an American tradition. And the lore for the pickle tradition, I hated to be the one that broke the bad news to people. And mm-hmm. to
I don't
like,
remember you doing a video on it, but
I did. It caused some hot debate. I did a TikTok video about it. I think if you look up the Dapper Danielle pickle ornament, I think it pops up.
Yeah, go back and watch that to learn about the pickle tradition and how. Because I remember Mom walked up to one of the workers in that store. And he was from Germany. And she asked him, and she's like, is this really German? Do y'all do this? And he's like, no.
He's like, no.
No, it's not.
Never even heard about it until like, I came here.
I didn't know about
here.
It till I came here.
And
which is hysterical.
So many people in the comments of that video, so many people are like, well, my Nona did this. Or not Nona, because that's not German, but my grandmother did this and she's from Germany. And I'm like, yeah, maybe, but is this something she adopted? Because the whole lore behind it is that a American ornament maker had too many fake fruit things and he had so many pickles left, and his way of advertising to get rid of his pickles was to sell it as a German tradition from the motherland, and you too can have this German tradition. And it was a way to be able to sell pickle ornaments.
I'm seeing that the New York Times at one point polled 2,000 German people, and over 91% of them had never heard of the pickle tradition.
I love that.
Which is hysterical. Which 2,000 is not a huge number, but I would say if 90% of your polling group, if they're all from Germany and 98% of them have never heard of the pickle tradition, then it's probably not a prevalent tradition
right
in that country.
So I think it's so funny that this tree is gone, and it's been there for years. Like, mm-hmm. this display and this decor has been there available for years, and it's finally been removed. So again, I claim victory on that one too. So you're welcome, and you're welcome a second time.
Yeah, which if you're German and listening to the show and you do the pickle tradition, email us and tell us how wrong we are.
Yes.
podcast@thedapperdanielle.com.
Let us know. Leave it in the comments over here on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, let us know.
Yeah, give us those interactions. I think we've touched Epcot enough. Maybe we jump over to Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
And let's explore what some favorite Christmas decor or Christmas things there are in Animal Kingdom that you really like. So what are some things that immediately come to mind for you?
Well, for me, y'all, for the longest time, Animal Kingdom did not have hardly any Christmas decor ever. They only had mm-hmm. the really big tree out front, and then they, like, some of the things around the tree still date back from when the park opened, like the early 2000s, late 90s. But the inside is all fairly new since like 2019, right before COVID shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
So the Merry Menagerie. Merry Menagerie is one of the best things that has been added to the park in years.
Can you explain what that is to people who don't know when you say Merry Menagerie?
For those that don't know, Merry Menagerie is a celebration of all these different woodland animals that are brought to life using actors and puppetry. And these, they have like a polar bear mom, a polar bear baby. They have a reindeer or an elk. I think it's a reindeer. And a baby reindeer. They have penguins. They have foxes. They have these birds. And then they have live musicians. And there is a violin player. And then there's also a, what's the drums called, Clarence? It's the steel drums. Is it just steel drums?
Yeah, it would just be a steel drum.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know what drum they have, but. It's
one
of like the round pot with the little
yes, steel drum.
That's a steel drum. Yeah.
So I'm just making sure.
My vocal imitation of it, I guess.
You did a good job.
Thanks.
But yeah, so they have a steel drum player. They have the violin player, and then they'll switch out. And then a lot of times they'll duet with each other as they're doing the change out also. And these, it's just beautiful. And I love the interactions. And then at night, these same characters and additional characters like owls and squirrels and all this other stuff have representations in these lantern motifs that line the main buildings there in front of the Tree of Life. And at night, now that the sun's setting earlier, they glow. And then they have this Christmas music that plays in Animal Kingdom that it has the steel drum beats in it. And it is just, it's a vibe. It is such a vibe late at night. And y'all need to go and just enjoy. Take your time leaving Animal Kingdom. Don't just do morning rope drop. I mean, you got to get there early enough to be able to see Merry Menagerie because they stop performing by like 5 before sunset. So go see them and then stay a little bit longer. Finish out your day in the park and enjoy the ambiance as you leave because it is a vibe.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you experienced Merry Menagerie yet, Clarence?
You know, I don't think I have. I think the few times we've been to Animal Kingdom, or I've gone to Animal Kingdom during Christmas time, has been late. So, like, the lights are on, but I don't think I've ever interacted with the puppets.
And I've only seen videos of them.
Oh, they're so cute. I know I would love them.
Y'all, Clarence would just want to stand there and just watch all the interactions.
Just the little critters. I love the critters. So my favorite is not Merry Menagerie.
No.
Because I've not experienced it for myself yet. My favorite, which I don't know if it's going to be there this year, is Dinoland USA.
It's not.
Yeah. A lot of my favorites are gone, it seems.
And it was so good.
The Dinoland USA Christmas decor is just so funny to me, and it's so cute. It's very, like, just goofy Christmas. You've got these, like, giant dinosaur lights where they're caroling, and it's just rar, rar, rar. All around them, or I'm pretty sure like Chip and Dale had dinosaur Christmas costumes.
Well, they had their dinosaur outfits, and then they had like Christmas lights or bulbs like attached and caught in their horns.
And then I know you could meet some of the DuckTale characters, like you could meet Scrooge McDuck, you could meet
Launchpad.
The pilot's name, I can't remember his name.
Launchpad McQuack, my favorite.
Launchpad, yes. And the, like, the hangar was decorated with garland and lights and stuff.
Yes.
And there are little Christmas trees everywhere.
You meet Santa Goofy out there regularly?
Yes. I just think it was very cute. That was my favorite in Animal Kingdom. I guess I'm going to have to get a new favorite.
Well, you're going to have to come down and experience Merry Menagerie.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to.
We can make that happen, Clarence. We can make that happen.
Come on, Bob. Stop getting rid of all the things I love.
I mean, it'd be really cute of when the whole South America section is opened, we could have some really cute South American inspired Christmas decor and have Casita from Encanto decorated for Christmas. There's opportunity here, people. We just got to see it through. Or the merry-go-round when that opens. It's going to be a beautiful merry-go-round. So to have that be completely decked out for holidays would be great too.
It'll be very pretty. I'm sure it will be. I just, Michael Eisner would never do this to me, you know, in the same way that Bob Iger is doing this to me. So just want to put that out there. Anyway, let's move on to what I honestly personally think is the best park when it comes to Christmas decor. Do you agree with that, Danielle? Yeah.
And it's Hollywood Studios, hands down. The Hollywood glamour of the holiday season is really where it's at here. And Jollywood, I am a fan of Jollywood Nights. Y'all can say what you want about it, but I love a good excuse to dress up. I love seeing other people dressed up and decked out in their holiday best. And the entertainment is amazing at this party. The food's great at this party. It's amazing. But if I had to pick out something, like, everybody's gonna say Osborne Lights, but yes, Osborne Lights were a vibe. It was an era.
Gone, but
you can't compete. Gone, but definitely not forgotten. I would say a piece of decor that I love. Actually, okay, there's three. There's three in total. Actually, four. Two tie into it. Anyway, number four is the fact that Gertie now has a Santa hat.
Yes.
Peak. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Love her. She's beautiful. Number three is the Christmas tree that now sits in the middle of Echo Lake next to Gertie.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they have the floating bulbs in the water, and then Gertie has one of these bulbs hanging out of her mouth, so that way it looks like she picked it off the tree and then she made a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Adorable. Very iconic. Cool. The second one, though, is going to be the decor on the lamppost, not on Echo Lake, but they're next to it on the main Hollywood Boulevard.
That circle, Echo Lake.
Not on Echo Lake. This is actually the main, not Hollywood, no, Hollywood Boulevard. The main one that goes down from the entrance to the Chinese Theater.
I don't remember what's on the lamppost.
It's these Christmas trees.
Okay.
And they are up above and they come down and they are recreations of stuff that used to be in downtown Hollywood in the 1930s.
Oh, that's cute.
So it's like accurate. And I found, I did a whole video on this too. And if you look that up, that's also over on the TikTok. Look up holiday or Hollywood Studios Christmas trees, the Dapper Danielle, and it should pop up also. Mm-hmm. And I post pictures. I have reference photos of all this, and it's fabulous. Just throwbacks to the 1920s, 1930s in Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
The number one, though, and still the icon, is the Tinseltown Wonderland that is around Echo Lake. The reindeer motifs and the Santa Claus silhouette that's there in the glowing shape that everybody loves. Everybody recreates it. Every small shop has a t-shirt referencing these reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because that's the type of holiday decor I try to bring into my personal home. That is my aesthetic.
Definitely.
And that's why it's my number one.
I think those are so cute. My favorite is also around Echo Lake, but it's the Santa and reindeer little circle things.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Is that the Tinseltown stuff?
The Tinseltown stuff.
Okay, so our number ones are the same, apparently.
Well, and then here in recent years, they added the figures. You've seen the figures.
Yes. I thought you were talking specifically about the figures, where I'm thinking of the light posts.
I mean, I kind of tie them both together because they're like part of the same era.
The theme is the same. It's all that kind of 50s or probably earlier, maybe 40s.
40s, 50s, and 60s.
Like that vintage Christmas style decor, hand painted. It's very pretty.
Yes.
It's very cute. I love a vintage looking Christmas. I love a vintage sounding Christmas. I think just the nostalgia of it. Christmas is already an incredibly nostalgic holiday to begin with. So
yes.
Yeah, I would say Osborne Lights, Gone But Not Forgotten, a longtime favorite. I can't remember if they did this last year in Batu, but I really want Life Day decor in Batu.
Clarence, they are bringing Life Day. Okay, so there's two variations of Life Day.
Okay. And
so the first one is... For those that don't know, the Star Wars Galaxy Edge Discord server, my friends over there, they usually are the ones that post all the holiday meetups. So it's SWEGD on, I post them all the time over on Instagram. They are hosting a Life Day meetup because Life Day technically happens in November.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a Thanksgiving Christmas adjacent. They're doing a whole Life Day meetup. I believe there will be caroling, Life Day carols involved. You are encouraged to wear your red robes and bring your orbs.
Perfect.
And so that's going to be happening on November 14th.
Mm-hmm.
I probably actually will not be there. I believe I will be at a media event in Dollywood, more to come. And so there's that. But then the second part, Disney has heard our cries and are asking for Life Day just more. So you know what they did this year? During Jollywood Nights, you can meet Chewbacca in his Life Day gear. They are doing a full Life Day celebration meet and greet in Batuu during Jollywood.
Amazing. It's honestly wonderful. I love that. I'm happy for that. Put the holiday special on Disney Plus.
Do it.
Do it, you cowards.
Heard you. What it? I mean, honestly, they probably would happen, just not until some people pass away, I think is really what it boils down to.
George.
Not until George is dead. He won't allow it. Oh my
I do
gosh.
Think there's a quote where he's like, if I could smash every copy of that special, I would.
Yeah.
I think there's something along, he said something along the lines of that.
It's, he hates it. He does not like the Christmas special.
But it did introduce some amazing characters. Like, it's the first appearance of Boba Fett.
Yes, in an animated form.
Yeah.
What is her name? Is it Bea Arthur from Golden Girls?
Uh-huh.
She's in the holiday special.
That's right. She's the bartender.
Yes. She's the bartender of the bar. And I was telling this to Dapper Mom. Remember
there's a scene of her like pouring blue or green milk into someone's head.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
And I think really, if you want to deep dive this real quick, and we'll use this to wrap up the show, right? She foretold that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge was going to come to Hollywood Studios in the back lot. Because, bear with me on this, Docking Bay,
mm-hmm.
The trash compactor is located in the same location that the facade of the Golden Girls house was located in the back lot tour when the park opened. Gosh. And I did a whole video on this too. If you go and you stand at when you're looking at the front counter, basically, you order your food there at Docking Bay and you go to the left, there's like this wall, a little seating area. And then there's this cast member door with this like trash section right here that they collect all the trash with. Mm-hmm. Don't go to the cast member door, but if you stand right there in that vicinity, that is the closest spot you can stand to where the Golden Girls front door used to stand.
Wow. It's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And, so I really think that because of the holiday special, her representation in it, and then foretelling, I think there's a connection there. I'm only saying it is.
I think you need to make like a YouTube like Disney theory video. You know, just like do your own game theory thing. We've joked about this before, where like it's just Disney theory videos that are ridiculous.
Just keep posing as the guy that has all the things up here. Just hold on.
You become the MatPat of Disney.
Literally. Oh my gosh.
That would be really funny.
This was foretold in the 80s and into the 90s that this Batu would be coming to Hollywood Studios well before the contract was signed between George and Michael Eisner.
And that's just a theory.
Literally, yeah.
Disney theory.
A Disney theory. A random Disney theory in the middle of YouTube podcasts that you probably don't care about, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Literally, I could do that as a whole thing. And should I talk that way during the entire thing?
I think you should. I think you should do your best MatPat impression. you know who MatPat is, right? Game Theory?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. He's retired now.
He is.
But, yeah, if you just want to become the Disney MatPat, like, perfect. That's awesome. You'll get included in the whenever Disney decides to make it's a Small World version of the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. You can guest star in it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground.
We've gone on a lot of rants again this episode, and
we really did rant a lot. We need Ian here to keep us on track.
You know, it is nice to have Ian because he does kind of level head us a little bit and keeps us a little more focused. So he'll be back next episode, y'all. We're going to make sure we schedule this appropriately so that way he can be here.
Yeah, but we're not going to immediately. Granted, this one was very Christmassy.
It was.
We can touch on some Thanksgiving things as we're in November. And then save some more Christmas stuff for December. We just felt like it was cool to talk about decor since it was going up this week.
Yes. It was happening literally in lifetime. It's
happening. Yeah. But before we sign off, some things you want to plug?
Yes, the Dapper family is going to be in New York. We are going to be participating in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade as balloon holders. It's gonna be crazy, y'all. Mm-hmm. We're still figuring out logistics and scheduling, but we're gonna be there. We're signed up. We're not gonna miss it for the world. We'll get there eventually.
Assignment.
We do.
We just got to get there and get back.
And we will be sharing more information with that too. And I think that would actually be another great topic and fun episode is the Disney balloons in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and how much this really is like a major entertainment and like American tradition really for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Honestly, we could do a whole episode just about the parade. I think that would be worth doing since we're kind of touching on some other entertainment stuff outside of Disney, too.
Yes.
So maybe we should definitely, I think we should consider that topic.
We should do a history deep dive into Macy's and, of course, a highlight into all that. And we'll do that leading up to our time out there for Thanksgiving week, so more to come. And what else is happening new?
You've got a book.
Yes.
Book number two. Talked about before, but just got to remind people.
It's true. Available for pre-order now is I Love Epcot, which will, if you order it now, it'll be arriving at your door around January 6th, at least here in the U.S. My friends over in the U.K., I am still waiting on verification on when your books are going to be releasing over there, because I did not realize that the Magic Kingdom book was, like, super delayed. Like, it kept being pushed back for, like, 2 months. So I will try to verify that and get more information for y'all over there in the U.K. In the meantime, though, there's also some additional signed copies. I went over to the Barnes & Noble at Dr. Phillips here in Orlando. And it's one of the first places that we did a book signing at when the I Love Magic Kingdom book released. And they found a box of signed copies that me and Ian did. And they have only 40 left. And I was talking to the manager there. I walked in. I was like, hey, so we know the Epcot book's coming out. And he's like, oh, no, we're prepared. You're coming to us first, right? And I'm like... I guess so. So more information on that scheduling coming up. That'll probably be in the first or second week. Well, actually, it'll be like second or third week of January next year after that book releases. We will also have more information on appearing at MegaCon. I am talking with MegaCon here this week, and I'm asking them how much you want me to do and what am I allowed to do. So we more info on that to come. But that's going to be the next fun big expo that we're working on.
Definitely. And... Yes. Patreon.
Oh, yes. Make sure you're signed up for the Patreon. I posted a couple things over there. We're posting our next giveaway over there, too. There's a couple more polls that are still actively going. I need some more opinions on. If y'all did not see last episode, my bear fiasco for the bathroom, I still haven't started decorating him yet, so I'm still taking polls and opinions, but it's only for the paid Patreon levels over there in the Dapper Danielle Patreon. Links are in the bio.
Definitely. And we're going to do more hangouts, more watch parties, just kind of some fun things, especially as the holidays are upon us. We'll do some more holiday themed hangout stuff. So definitely head over there to patreon.com/thedapperdanielle, sign up, join the party. It's a fun time over there. Get involved. And with that, I think we've covered everything for this episode.
I think we really have. So again, thank you all so much for listening this far into the episode, and we'll see you back here next time. Till then, night night, sleep tight, dream of churros tonight.